Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're going to continue to examine what Jude taught about how to win souls in an age of apostasy. So let's read Jude verses 22 and 23 again together. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, on the last broadcast, we were discussing just how fear was used by God in the Bible to do what Jude says here in verse 23 and pull them out of the fire of sin in temptation. And we were looking at a very fascinating account that Dr. Luke wrote in the book of the Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So let's read that account again together. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter responded to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, Yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. Now, in verse 23 of Jude, he tells us this bit of information. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And here in the book of Acts chapter 5, we see a real-life example of exactly what Jude is talking about. Here, two people who were in the church plotted and schemed to defraud God and the church by making it look like they gave everything when in fact they gave only a portion. Now, as we studied on the last broadcast, we need to know several very important aspects about this passage. Number one, both the man and the woman conspired to lie. So from this we know that the man did not force the woman to lie. She was a willing accomplice. And we also can know that this was not a mistake or an accident. This act by Ananias and Sapphira was a well thought out, premeditated attempt at deception. Number two, both the man and the woman were perfectly willing to accept the thanks and the praise and the gratitude from the people of the church for doing something that they really didn't do. Number three, when Peter confronted them, they both continued to lie, and they both continued to try to deceive and cover it up, showing that they were not convicted at all about this sin, and they made no attempt at all to repent. Number four, when the instant and deadly judgment came from God as a result of their wickedness, neither the grace nor the mercy of Jesus Christ prevented the judgment of God from falling on them. Number 5, when the man fell down dead right in the middle of the church service went right on. And the Bible says that it continued on for another 3 hours after he had died before his wife came in. Then she lied to God and she was also judged by God. Now, what was the result of all of this? This sounds horrific to us, but what was the result of all this? Read the book of Acts chapter 5 verse 11. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. So not only did this sudden and deadly judgment affect the people of the church, but it also scared the people outside the church as well. And as we discussed on the last broadcast, this passage proves to us that godly, reverential fear keeps us focused on what really matters to God. You see, God would have been perfectly justified in judging 1,000 people that day. Ananias and Sapphira were not the only people who were plotting to deceive. They were not the only ones who were lying to God. Ananias and Sapphira were judged instantly and publicly so that all the other people who were either lying or thinking about lying would remember that God was listening and that God was watching. So when you look at it that way, the sudden and certain death of Ananias and Sapphira was actually God issuing mercy on all the other people who were just as guilty as Ananias and Sapphira by causing great fear to rise in their hearts to stop them from doing the very same thing. So anytime God brings forth visible and public judgment in the earth, this is God's way of reminding all of us that he's watching us too, and that we must take heed to ourselves, and that we must repent quickly so that this does not come our way. Ananias and Sapphira were not the only people who were guilty of lying. In fact, their sin may not have been as bad as what somebody else was doing. That's not the reason they were judged. Ananias and Sapphira were absolutely guilty of sinning against God. There is no doubt about that, but as we know, God does not always judge us immediately when we sin, does he? No, God is full of mercy, and many times wrath and judgment that we absolutely deserve is withheld from us. And that's not a sign that God is weak or a sap or that it doesn't matter what we do. That's not what not having instant judgment proves. No, the act of mercy in God withholding judgment that we deserve is simply God giving us space to repent. And sadly, many people get bold when God doesn't immediately judge them. And they get the notion that what they did was okay and that God doesn't care because they didn't instantly die. But God does care, and rest assured that judgment is coming. But God allows us space to come to our senses and to beg him for forgiveness and to turn from our sins. But periodically, God unleashes his fury and wrath against sin in a very public and dramatic way. What we call natural disasters and plagues and famines and even war and murders are all signs that God is angry with our sin and that we should bow and repent. And so God is merciful, holding back his fury based upon his own wisdom. For example, God may give one man 5 chances, while he may only give another man 1 chance. God does not always treat people the same way. Moses struck the rock 1 time, and God refused to allow him to go into the promised land and took his life, while Jonah sat and argued with God for days. We must remember that every sin that we commit is worthy of eternal death, so never get the idea that God has to be fair or that he has to treat everybody the same. God is not fair. God has never been fair. God is God, and so God is holy and right and true and just and merciful, but he's not fair, and you really don't want God to be fair, because if God was fair, we would get what we deserve. And I really don't think we all want that. So since God would be correct to immediately judge everyone on earth right now, because everyone on earth right now is guilty, and yet he doesn't do that because of mercy, then when God does periodically bring forth swift and public judgment, it is because of 2 things. Rest assured that those who were judged by God deserved it. Number 2, everybody else who is just as guilty as the ones who were judged, all of a sudden have a lot of godly reverential fear into their hearts and they feel led to repent. Public and visible judgment reminds us all that God is watching and that God is serious and that we need to fear him if we are to love him. And public and visible judgment on the few who are guilty is God's tool of mercy and grace on the many who are equally guilty to repent or face his wrath as well. So the correct response to this visible and public judgment is fear, godly, reverential fear that is well able to modify our behavior. It is well able to change the way we live our lives. It is well able to bring us to our knees and well able to keep us from sin. Now, some would say at this point, I just don't believe that, Brother Blair. This is terrible. I don't want to think that my God would operate like this. And I would respond to you by saying that I didn't read this out of a garden catalog. I read it out of the Bible. God did do this. This is recorded for us in the book of Acts. And so it was mercy toward all the other people who were thinking about doing the same thing that Ananias and Sapphira did. And the fear of God, which came as a direct result of that judgment, brought repentance to those people, and they were able to escape God's wrath. And I would agree with these people that perhaps the God that they have invented in their own mind and hearts would not do this. But the God of the Bible, the Father of Jesus Christ, absolutely did operate like this, because that's where I just read it out of, is the Bible. And some would say that there's no way for God to act. There's just no way for God to act, and nobody would ever come to church if this is what was going on. I mean, who in their right mind would ever go to a church and serve God if they thought that God did things like this? Ah, but my brothers and sisters, if you think like this, you would be wrong again. Let's read what Luke wrote that happened as a result of God publicly and visibly bringing judgment against sin and bringing great fear upon sinner and saint alike. Let's read Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. So we can see that the great fear brought about by public and visible and instant judgment was one of the best evangelistic tools that the New Testament church employed. You see, dear friends, because God honored his own righteousness and publicly and visibly judged sin, and because great fear came upon all those both in and out of the church, the Bible says that God was glorified, and the Bible says that believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So Jude was right about what he said in verse 23, and fear is absolutely an effective tool for us to use in order to pull some people out of the fire of deception and false teaching. And we don't need to hesitate when employing this tool, because we need to display God properly. We need to talk about God biblically. We don't just need to talk about that God is love. Absolutely, God is love. Thank God, God is love. But he's also righteous, and his righteousness demands that he judge all sin. If God did not judge sin, he would be agreeing with people that his glory is not worth defending. And God will never do that. So let's become biblical in our understanding of God. And let's talk about that God is love. But then let's talk about that God is righteous. And let us believe the biblical record of how God instituted his righteous anger and wrath against unrepentant sinners repeatedly in the Word of God. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy Word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.